Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As we think about John the Baptist preparing the way, we need to prepare ourselves too. So let's stand to sing number 500, make way for Christ the King. Do please be seated for our second reading. I've got to give David time to translate between organ stool, lectern, piano, wherever he's going next after that. And follow your journey, David.
The second reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, and reading from verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian. Chapter 8, reading from verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Before Judy speaks to us, we're going to sing again. This may not look familiar, but I think the tune will do. I hope so. Let's stand to sing number 629. Praise We Now, the Word of Grace. Oh, sorry, do sit down. Oh, I'm suddenly very loud. You might want your Bibles open on that last passage, the Acts passage, which is page 1101, I think. And just before we pray, it is lovely to be here again. I always love coming to St. Saviour's. There's three reasons I especially like being here. One, I get to wear my robes that I don't do very often anywhere else. Two, it's quite an easy journey for me. And
Yeah, and three, it is just lovely to be with all of you and see all of you. So it's a real pleasure to be here today.
And knowing how you like driving, it's good to be able to walk.
Exactly, exactly. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord God Almighty, may the words I speak and the words we hear be your words. Please let them speak into each of our lives today. Amen. Well, today we reach the end of our sermon series, You Are My Witnesses. And we finish with an example in the Bible of someone who witnessed really well. Someone who followed that command Jesus gave his disciples that I think we did months and months ago, to go to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that person was called Philip. We only read about Philip three times in the Bible, and all of them are in Acts. First, we read about him in Acts 6. And Philip was chosen as one of the seven deacons who had to work practically to make sure that the food and provisions were distributed fairly amongst the widows in their community in Jerusalem. Secondly, we read in Acts 7 that because of the persecution after Stephen's death, Philip finds himself in Samaria, and there he preaches the good news. And then thirdly is the passage that David just read to us, where Philip preaches to a high-ranking Ethiopian official who becomes a Christian and goes on his way back to Ethiopia, praising God and rejoicing. Philip is certainly an amazing example of someone who shared the good news in Jerusalem amongst those widows, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I don't know if you're a bit like me, but he feels a bit of an impossible example to attain to. Someone who set the bar just that little bit too high, really. And yet, as I read this passage and prayed about what I was going to say today, I realised that Philip witnessed so powerfully, not because of his great abilities or his intelligence or his goodness, but because of the Holy Spirit working in him and through him, and that he was willing to obey what God had asked him to do and say. And all of us have that same Holy Spirit working in us and through us. So witnessing isn't about being clever or eloquent or good, but rather about how willing we are to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, and how willing we are to obey God's instructions. So if it's not about us, then what can we learn about witnessing from this passage? Well, I think we can follow Philip's example in three different ways. Firstly, Philip was in the right place at the right time. In verse 26, we see that he obeyed the angel of the Lord and went to the desert road leading to Gaza. And because he obeyed, because he was on that desert road at the right moment, Philip met that Ethiopian official. To many, it would have seemed like a strange encounter, a chance coincidence. But we know better, don't we? We know that this encounter had been meticulously planned by God so that the good news of Jesus could reach Ethiopia. Do we make sure that we're in the right place at the right time? Well, it was easy for Philip, you might reply. An angel appeared to him and told him what to do. I guess many of you, like me, haven't actually seen an angel, and I certainly haven't had any instructions from an angel ever. And yet, as I thought about it, I thought about those times when I'd been prompted to maybe walk to school a slightly different way to collect Josh and met someone who needed a word of encouragement, Or of the day a few weeks ago when I walked into the gift box shop, which you probably know on the high street, and just after they discovered someone had been in and stolen some money from the till. And that allowed me an opportunity to just offer sympathy and a prayer for them. And if we think a bit more about this passage, God was really asking Philip to do something really extraordinary. He was asking him to witness to a foreign eunuch. Here was a man who was obviously interested in following the God of Israel, but who would never have been accepted, and who would have been barred completely from the temple, not just because he was a foreigner, but because he was also a eunuch. Philip probably needed that angel to help him realize that the gospel, the kingdom of God, was for everyone, not just for the Jews. And if God wants us to do something extraordinary, he usually makes it quite clear. However, most of us are just living quite ordinary lives in the quite ordinary. We need to know that God has placed us in our situations, whatever they might be, so that we can witness for him where we are. God has placed us in those places we visit regularly, at the school gates for me, in the hospital maybe, at the corner shop, at the doctor's, in our neighbourhood. Those are the right places where God has put us. So how do we make sure that we're in the right place at the right time? Well, something I've found very helpful is by praying as we go about our normal lives, that God will direct us to the right people to speak to, and that his Holy Spirit will use our words to enable others to learn more about Jesus. So are we praying that God will direct us to the right place at the right time? Secondly, Philip asked the right question. In verse 30, we read that Philip runs along beside the chariot. I have to say, I rather sympathise with him, this kind of picture of him puffing along. I'm glad God didn't ask me to do that, puffing along by this chariot. But anyway, he was running along beside the chariot and realises, I wouldn't have been able to realise because I'd be panting. It had to be someone more like Sally, I think, Philip. Realises that the man is reading Isaiah and asks, do you understand what you're reading? He doesn't assume that the man has no idea what he's reading. He asks a question that helps him to learn what the man thinks about what he's reading and assess where to start his explanation from. This question also allows the Ethiopian official an opportunity to ask for help to understand without having to admit too much his lack of knowledge. So he's able to receive Philip's explanation well without feeling undermined or threatened. Asking the right question often opens up people's responses to Jesus and allows them to think about what we're saying without feeling threatened or preached to. And questions are so helpful, aren't they, when we really want to help us really understand someone or know what they're thinking or feeling. So what sort of questions might be the right questions? Well, how do you feel? How can I help? Or even, would you like me to pray about it? Can often be the right questions. I've found that when people share their worries or sadnesses or difficulties, asking if they would like me to pray about it almost always gets the response, yes, please. And I try and do this when I meet people at the school gates or in the toddler groups or around Tunbridge. Recently, one of my friends was telling me about a medical appointment she had that she was really worried about. And I said, I'll be thinking about you. And she looked quite indignant and said to me, I didn't tell you that just so you could think about me. I told you about it so you could pray for me. And I thought that was a really good reminder of asking people that question. So we need to ask the right question and also listen carefully to the answer we're given. Philip listened and was invited to sit in the chariot and give an explanation of the passage in Isaiah. An amazing opportunity, but a slightly scary one. And Philip took this opportunity courageously. We too need to be courageous when opportunities are given to us. And remember that the Holy Spirit's promise to speak through us. So do we ask the right questions and courageously act on the answers? And thirdly, Philip gave the right explanation. And I guess if you're a bit anything like me, that's the really scary bit. We worry, don't we, that we won't know what to say, that we won't have all the answers to the difficult questions, that we don't know enough verses from the Bible to back up our words, that we'll mess it up and say something that will put people off. And here again, Philip is such a helpful example because he simply explained the passage from the Bible that the Ethiopian official was reading. And he just told him about Jesus. He told him that this prophecy from Isaiah 53 was all about Jesus. He told him about his death and resurrection. He told him about the kingdom of God breaking into our world. So how can we be like Philip and give the right response? Well, firstly, we need to be faithful about studying the Bible and working out how we fit into the amazing story of God's salvation. Secondly, we need to live our lives in the light of the Bible. We should seek to follow God's word and act on it as we read and study. To get better at doing this, I find it really helpful to be a member of a home group or a Bible study group where I regularly talk with others about the Bible and what it's saying to me. And thirdly, we must remember that Jesus is central to the good news and make sure we talk about him much more than we talk about ourselves. We also need to recognise, I think, opportunities that we haven't taken and ask for God's forgiveness and help for the next time. A few weeks ago, I found myself in the right place with the right person at the right time, a friend whose mother had recently died. And I asked the right question, and she shared some of her sadness and pain. And then she said, "I wish I had your hope in life after death." And sadly, instead of giving the right response, I said I would pray for her. The right response, my right response, should have been to talk about Jesus and why I have that hope. However, I pray that God will give me another opportunity to share that hope. And if any of you want a really good example of how to share hope in a difficult situation, listen to the sermon Graham Tomlin, the Bishop of Kensington, gave at the memorial service this week for the victims of the Glenfell Tower, because that's an amazing way of learning about how to bring hope into what seems a very hopeless situation. So are we prepared to give the right response? In the next week or so, we will welcome hundreds of visitors to our church services. Visitors who come through our doors. This time next week, there'll be an awful lot of them here. A bit later on in the afternoon, there'll be a huge number of them here. Visitors who will come through our doors thinking, only knowing a tiny bit of what Christmas is really about. And I bet over the next few days we'll have many conversations with our friends and neighbours about Christmas. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could all pray that each of us is in the right place at the right time, that each of us knows and asks the right questions, and that each of us is able to speak clearly and courageously to give the right response and share the amazing truth that Christmas really is all about Jesus. Because if we pray and act and question and respond through the power of the Holy Spirit, people will come to know the good news about Jesus. And with that Ethiopian official, ask, why shouldn't I be baptized? Wouldn't that be amazing if we had lots of people asking that question in Tunbridge this Christmas? Let's have a moment's quiet and pray. Are we praying that God will direct us to the right place at the right time? Do we ask the right questions and courageously act on the answers? And are we prepared to give the right response? Lord God, we pray that we will act and question and respond in the power of your Holy Spirit, so that many people, our friends and neighbours, will come to know you, the living Lord Jesus. Amen.